Hi there. Do you know what your anxiety profile is? Me, I was a besieged panicker. We often say that the first step to reversing anxiety is to understand it. And that's why we've created a tool to help you discover your anxiety profile. And it's totally free. In about 90 seconds, you'll receive your customized anxiety profile. And it will answer so many questions you've probably been struggling with, including, am I going crazy? And why me? So if you haven't yet, pause this episode and head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile or click the link in the show notes. I promise you'll get a lot more out of this and every episode once you know your anxiety profile. And now, on to the show. Hey, welcome back to the Life Free of Anxiety podcast. I'm Erica, and together with licensed clinical therapist Dr. Charles Spahr, we're going to be breaking down anxiety and related disorders and phobias in this episode. But before we get to it, a couple things. First, if you haven't yet downloaded Dr. Barr's relaxation and breathing audio, make sure you do. It's totally free, and so I do want to make sure you have a copy. Just head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/relax to get that. Second, I wanted to read a review from Hannah Zeus. She left this on iTunes, and she says that she's so glad she stumbled across this podcast and that it provides, quote, hope and a sense of community on a topic that can be difficult to talk about. Thank you so much, Hannah Zeus, for your review and all the kind reviews out there. It really means a lot to us. And one of our top goals of this podcast is to provide some community around a topic that is difficult to talk about and sometimes just hard to put into words. We know how lonely of an experience this can be. So hopefully we can be your friends on this anxiety journey. Okay, on to the show. Welcome to the Life Free of Anxiety podcast, where each week we'll bring you another discussion to help you on your way to overcoming your fears. I'm Erica, and together with Dr. Charles Spahr, a licensed clinical psychologist specializing in anxiety, we'll be your guides on this journey. To find a list of helpful free resources we offer, head to lifefreeofanxiety.com. Because you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety.
Now, the other thing that some people get, and very frequently actually as part of panic disorder, is they have a little touch of what we might call OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll find maybe that they have to, that they are doing certain rituals where they have to check things over and over, or, you know, to make sure the door is locked, or they'll have certain rituals that they're doing over and over, and particularly they're having obsessive thinking.
Yes.
And now obsessive thinking, the kind of thought that I'm thinking of on this, really has to do with absolutely terrible thoughts.
Hmm.
You're just going along in life, and all of a sudden this absolutely horrendous thought comes into your head. That just makes you almost sick at your stomach to think that you even thought that in the first place, you know? And so it usually has some kind of a terribly abhorrent, theme to it, either a violent theme or a sexual theme or harming someone. It just frightens you so badly that you would have this thought in the first place. And then you try to undo that. And that's sort of what happens in, obsessive compulsive disorder and OCD. And it's not uncommon in panic disorder to have that similar kind of thought happening in a particular area or at certain times. And that doesn't mean that you have OCD. It just, like I'm saying, panic disorder is this very complex arrangement of various disorders, various parts of various disorders. And so if you get all of one and not much of any others, then we call it one thing. But if you get a touch of all of these all at the same time, we call it panic disorder.
Yeah.
And the other thing then is, you start panicking because of the thoughts.
I have a question about these thoughts. Are these thoughts that are, you are fearing something you imagined yourself doing, or is this the kind of thought that you're fearing something that might happen to your family member that's very violent or whatnot? Or is it both? Can it be both?
It can be either or.
Okay.
Yeah, either or. So it can be a thought that, oh, I'm going to go molest that child. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a horrible thought. You know, and you think, why would I even think that? Why? How could I even entertain that thought?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, we used to play, do this little saying, step on a crack, break your mother's back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, probably an OCD person developed that.
Right.
Like, okay, if I do this mundane thing, like step on a crack, something horrible is going to happen to my mother, you know, or something horrible is going to happen to my child or to a loved one, or so that it's not, I'm not going to do it, but I caused it by stepping on a crack.
Or I bet somebody OCD started those chain emails too, where if you don't send this to 5 people, you'll have a terrible rest of your life. You'll never find love, whatever. That must have been.
Right.
Those used to be so common. And as a kid, I remember always falling for that. That's actually funny to trace that back to OCD. I grew up with a family member that I spent a lot of their time at, who actually I thought was very common as a kid. But looking back now, I see that that was true OCD of they would always have to check all of the gas on the knobs on the
stove.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was like a whole routine. And I thought, I was a kid. So I thought they're just really cautious. They don't want their house to burn down, or they're a little eccentric. But then my mom told me that the same family member used to check her school books over and over and over as a child the night before to make sure they were still in the drawer. So now I looking back, I put that together and I'm like, okay, so that was true OCD behavior.
That's right.
Which is pretty specific behavior. It definitely falls into its own category. But you're saying this falls under the umbrella of anxiety because there's a fear there, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And here's another connection. People who have OCD, you know, not just panic disorder, but they have OCD.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what OCD's weapon is? OCD's weapon is, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to make you feel anxious, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I also see people that have OCD and deal with OCD. And that's their primary diagnosis. And it's like, yes. And OCD will give you panic disorder, or not panic disorder, but it will give you a panic attack if you don't do what it says.
Hmm.
So
control.
If you decide that you're going to not do what OCD is telling you to do, and I'm going to see if I can step on every crack here, you're going to get anxious.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really believing that if I step on a crack, it's going to break my mother's back, you're going to get anxious if you go through the sidewalk and you step on every crack.
Uh-huh.
But the anxiety won't last. And if you keep doing that, you will extinguish that behavior. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the ways, with OCD, we talk about exposure response prevention. ERP, exposure response prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be an example of that, of going and stepping on every crack. But you will get anxious if you decide to defy it and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So anxiety is very punishing.
Yeah.
Very punishing.
That's true. Yeah. And I think you're a slave to it, no matter what category you fall under, if it's OCD or not. You're kind of a slave to it no matter what. I just wanted to add that I think that there can be OCD behaviors that can kind of fly into our lives, you know, at times without being truly OCD. Because I know I've had weeks where I might be a little more anxious or something's maybe a little more stressful going on in my life. And I wonder if I let my dog out, you know, and I'm driving down the street and I'm like, did I let her out, though? Is she out? Did I close the door? Or with my garage, did I close the garage before I left? Because my thought is I don't want my dog to get out. But I notice that it flares up worse sometimes, you know, because sometimes I'll just drive off And I won't even think about if I close my garage.
That's right.
But I don't have OCD is my point. So I just wanted to put it out there that you can have obsessive behaviors. You could have an obsessive week without, you know, I just don't want anyone diagnosing themselves as OCD because they have typical forgetfulness or worry.
Well, that's right. And who of us has not had a song get stuck in your head that starts driving you crazy?
Oh my gosh, right now.
Song every day.
Yes, right now it is my child's jumperoo that I put him in to jump. It is driving me crazy. I hear it at 3 o'clock in the morning when I wake up. I hear it in the kitchen when I'm doing dishes, and it's not on. It's not on. The children's toys, oh my goodness, nobody warned me ahead of time, but yes.
Well, that's exactly right. Oh. That's a good example of that.
Sometimes I'm thinking, I'll do anything to get this stupid song out of my head. And Kyle's, my husband's like, stop playing the music then. And I'm like, well, he doesn't want to jump if the music's not on.
Yeah, that's right.
The joys of motherhood.
Oh, that is so funny. Well, so we all get those things. And that doesn't mean you have OCD or that you have an anxiety disorder.
Uh-huh.
It just, you know, sometimes that stuff gets stuck in our head. But when that stuff starts interfering with our lives, then we may have a problem.
Right.
And so as part of a panic disorder, that's one of the problems. When I, one of the last things that I want to talk about is anxiety and depression, because very often depression comes hand in hand with this.
Yes.
And very often, part of what I try to determine is what is coming first? Is the anxiety causing the depression, or is the depression causing the anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
Because it can go either way.
Yes.
And, so I've had a lot of people who have come in, who have been treated for depression, and they've gotten a little better. They've been taking antidepressant medications, and the SSRIs in particular can be very effective in treating depression, and can also be very effective in treating anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So just because an SSRI has worked to make you feel better doesn't necessarily mean that your primary diagnosis is depression. So it can be fairly difficult sometimes to tease out which is which.
Yes. And I just want to say, when I first came to you, I was very grateful that you heard me when I said, I'm not depressed. I get depressed because of my anxiety, because I had spoke with other people who thought that I was depressed because I was anxious, and that I've heard it explained over and over that anxiety and depression are really the same thing. And I was thinking, but I like my life. I just got married. I'm happy, but I'm anxious. And yeah. I get very depressed when I feel like I'm failing because of anxiety.
Well, yeah. I certainly want to validate what you're saying there.
Right.
You know, it's like you were saying, like, no, I'm not unhappy with my life. I'm not depressed right now. But I'm still anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, It's very difficult when you, one of the ways I think about a panic disorder is I think about it as your body going on a sit down strike.
Mm.
It's like, your body saying to you, I'm sick and tired of you living with all of this anxiety and putting me through all of this anxiety, and I'm not going to cooperate with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stressed out and I've had it with you and I'm not cooperating. Well, when your body takes off on you and doesn't cooperate with you anymore, it's very difficult not to get depressed.
Yes.
When you can't trust your body to take you through a situation that you're used to going through, or maybe you've never been able to go through it, and everybody else you look at, you think can.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going, what's wrong with me that I can't do that? It's like my body won't let me do that. And so you feel betrayed.
Yeah.
And feel uncertain about what your own reactions are going to be.
Right.
And so it's very difficult not to get depressed when that's going on. But sometimes people get anxious because they're depressed. It's like, I can feel the depression knocking on my door, and I'm scared and I'm trying to run from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to outrun it, but now I'm getting anxious because I'm trying to outrun depression. So which drives which,
mm-hmm.
and it can go either way. Interestingly enough, I think, well, it's hard for me to put percentages, but a large portion of the people that I have seen, their anxiety is driving depression rather than depression driving anxiety.
Yeah.
And, I've seen some people who have gotten severely depressed and they present as depressed, not anxious. But then as they start getting better, then we start running into the anxiety. And, I've had several people that present as very depressed. And, when we treat the anxiety and give them the skills to deal with the anxiety, they just don't deal with the depression anymore.
You mean they don't feel as depressed anymore? Is that what
That's
you're
right.
saying? Okay.
And they don't get clinically depressed anymore.
Interesting.
If they will catch the anxiety and deal with the anxiety, then the depression never shows it.
Hmm.
So that's it's important for us to deal with the anxiety, and it's so important because it just leads to so many other kinds of things that are absolutely miserable in themselves.
Yeah.
Well, so, we covered a lot of things, today.
And mm-hmm.
I guess the one thing that we haven't talked about is, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's kind of a different disorder in itself.
That's what I thought I had. Really, I thought I had that when I came to you, and you changed basically my diagnosis.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, that's what a therapist had told me. I fell under the criteria because of the marijuana incident where I smoked pot. For those of you who didn't hear the episode, I smoked pot, and it set off a lot of ill feelings. That's when my anxiety
yes.
first sparked. So I was told that, well, because I spent hours trying to, you know, feel sober again and I couldn't get there, that I was, that I had experienced something very traumatic like PTSD. And so now I was dealing with PTSD symptoms. So I thought, wow, this is, but everything I read up on it, it really didn't fit. And then when I came to you, you said, I really don't think you have PTSD. I think what you're dealing with is you offset, some nerves that were already kind of, you know, like the lava in the volcano. They hadn't come out yet. They were dormant or whatever
right.
all before, but they were there. And with the marijuana incident, you set something off that led your body to keep panicking after that. But I remember feeling like, okay, so I don't have PTSD. And that was kind of a relief to feel
yeah.
like, okay, so, you know, something majorly traumatic didn't happen. Something that makes a little more sense to me.
Yes. I would say in your situation, I think I probably did say this as you were talking about it. You know, it's like, okay, that spark that set something in motion for you that may have gotten set off somewhere else or may not have, but
mm-hmm.
it certainly got set off there and kept. Took on a life of its own.
Yes.
With PTSD, there really is some kind of a traumatic or dangerous situation that happened.
Mm.
For me, I don't think I had PTSD, but I certainly had a traumatic incident that gave me a panic attack. That was the earthquake. My PTSD sort of led to panic disorder. Well, it wasn't really PTSD. It was that event was so frightening to me that it set off a panic disorder.
Uh-huh.
So I had to put myself back together after that incident and learn how to deal with panic and with scary thoughts and all the feelings that come with that and the irrationality of it and all the things that happen in panic disorder.
Right.
All the symptoms that come with that. So, But the people, PTSD certainly is experienced by a lot of our veterans who've seen war.
Yes.
Who've been in atrocities and, either had to do terrible things or had terrible things happen to them.
Or to the people they're with. I've heard that a lot of PTSD comes from the helplessness of seeing somebody else die. Is that true?
Yes, okay. That's true. Had seen one of your buddies die, and it can come from domestic violence. It can come from sexual violence. Mm. Particularly if it's repeated, then it tends to seem to be worse. Mm. If it's a chronic, repeated situation that you're in. And PTSD, comes with, flashback, mm-hmm. terrible dreams, difficulty sleeping, feeling numbed out, or kind of like you're just numb to a situation. So there's a different set of symptoms that come with PTSD. And, while my panic disorder was triggered by a traumatic incident of having the earthquake there,
mm-hmm.
It was traumatic to me.
Well, you thought you were going to go out the window.
Of course.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of other people, laughed at me for being so scared on that one. But, of course, I think I told in one of the other podcasts, I talked about working with an engineer at JPL at that point who had been in Alaska during the 8.0. And so he had every right to laugh at me,
Yeah.
Oh, that little thing. So not everyone who has panic disorder has any kind of trauma that sets it off.
And you could have something that sets it off and not be PTSD, yes. too.
That's right. Which I think is what you were saying with the marijuana thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, that was traumatic to you and that set off the whole thing, but you weren't having flashbacks and you weren't numbing out. And so you didn't have that complex of symptoms.
Right.
So you may have a triggering incident, but it wouldn't necessarily be PTSD that you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a fun discussion for me.
This
I hope
has
it's been fun for you.
Yeah. We hope we didn't scare you in any way. I think the bottom line is that anxiety can look a lot of different ways. We can look this way.
It
can look that way. Yeah. Don't focus too much on whatever it is. Even if it's PTSD, the PTSD isn't like more life threatening or more, anything than social anxiety. Is that fair to say? Because I don't want to say something totally unfair out there. Okay. Because I'm not the therapist, but I mean, let's look at it for what it is. If you have panic, you have different symptoms maybe of what might make you fall under another branch, but we're all in the same tree, I'd say, if that's a
yes.
good way to put it.
Yes. And because of that, similar kinds of therapies work in all of these different areas.
Hmm.
Now we may need to tweak it and we may need to modify this or that.
Uh-huh.
But in general, the cognitive behavioral therapies are what is called for and what have been proven to work on most of these disorders. I would say all of these disorders, including depression.
Mm.
Cognitive behavioral therapy for depression can be very effective.
Mm-hmm.
David Burns has a book out called, it's been out for some time now, but it's The Feeling Good Handbook.
Mm.
And it is a very good workbook type cognitive behavioral therapy for depression.
Oh, okay.
Where people are depressed and not anxious in particular. The cognitive behavioral therapies have proven to be very effective in terms of helping people learn a different way of approaching life, a different way of talking to themselves, different way of regulating themselves so that they can walk their way out of the disorder and get back into living their life mm-hmm. without the suffering of anxiety and depression.
And that's why
we're
here.
News.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that is why we're here. And that's what the message is that we're trying to get across, is there is hope and there's help. And we hope that our listeners will avail themselves of the help that is there.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you, Dr. Barr. You're always so insightful. It's like you're a doctor.
Well, sometimes I guess it pays off, you know.
It pays off majorly for anyone listening. I'm sure of that. So,
well, you know, one of my friends is an accountant, and he always calls it PhD. You know, it's piled higher and deeper. And so, sometimes that's true, I guess. But sometimes I guess it's worth it. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to have you, at least, if it counts for anything. Even though you said earlier you're kind of strange.
So that's true. Yes. I'll laugh at funny things.
I don't think I hang out with anyone who's not strange, so.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, we're a good company. Well, we will talk to you guys next time. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope that something in today's conversation provided you with a feeling of hope, determination, or purpose. I know what you're going through, and that's why I want to give you some of the tools that helped me in my anxiety journey. To get a free copy of Free From Fears, head to freefromfearsbook.com. To find out more about the Change Anxiety Treatment Program, find us at changedwith2as.com. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety. See you next week. Before you go, I wanted to give you one last reminder to discover your anxiety profile at lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile. Going forward, we really think this should be the starting point for everyone's anxiety journey. Once you're done, you'll probably wonder how we could learn so much from just a few questions. It really is amazing. What you don't see is behind the scenes, your responses are compared to what we've learned from helping over 200,000 people just like you reverse their anxiety over the past 40 years. It's a data-backed assessment with real insights. I promise it's worth 90 seconds of your time, and it's totally free. Just click the link in the show notes or head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile, and I'll talk to you again soon.